All right, we're going to continue in Ecclesiastes. Today we're going to cover chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And it'd be easy to race through this book, but I keep seeing little chunks that are like, hey, that's just a standalone sermon right there. I definitely saw that in these verses. And so I'd like to begin by just reading that passage, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear. And let's pray once more. Lord, thank you for this morning. Again, I say, and I thank you that we have the opportunity to open your word together. And I do ask your blessing on this time also. I pray, Lord, that we would hear loud and clear from your word, Lord, that each and every one of us would leave convicted today, Lord, by your word and by your spirit, and that you would help us to see more accurately how we should approach you. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, before I get going, I'm not used to standing here. It seems kind of loud to me. Is this kind of loud, the speakers, or does this sound okay? All right, I think I'm just not used to being in front of the speakers, and so it sounds loud to me. I feel like I'm at a stadium. Maybe one of those referees when they turn on their mic, you know, and you hear it, first down! What it feels like to me. All right, so looking at this passage here, this is really along the lines of what Solomon's saying is really along the lines of something else we see in the Old Testament in Scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, starting in 21, it says, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from vowing, you will not be guilty of sin. You shall be careful to do what has passed your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. And so, just very much saying something very similar. If you make a vow is like, is a promise to the Lord. And oftentimes this comes in some kind of circumstance of difficulty or something where you say, God, if you will just come through for me in this way, if you would just help me in this way, then I promise to do this for you. Oftentimes that's what it looks like. It doesn't always have to look exactly like that. But you see this in Psalm 66, verse 13 and 14. It says, I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. So a time happened that this person, you know, like here, we don't actually know who wrote Psalm 66, but we think it may be David, it could be David. But basically what the psalm is expressing is this idea that there was a time of trouble and difficulty. And this, the idea is that people call out to God, they say, God, please help me. And if you will just please help me, then Lord, I will give my life to you and I will serve you with all my heart. You know, something along that way. It might not be something so large, it may be different. Now, I have just an example of it from somebody that I know in my life, and then I have an example from the Bible of this. I know that I'm aware that my Uncle Joe and Aunt Becky, that when they were having, I think it was their first daughter, that she didn't get oxygen like right away, she wasn't breathing, and they really called out to the Lord and said, If you will help us here, we'll give our lives to you and we'll serve you. It may not have been the most informed prayer or something at the time. I don't know. I'm not recommending that we try to make deals with God and we do this, but I think it was sincere and God knew it. And so God saved their daughter from this, you know, time, you know. And they gave their lives to the Lord. Not just like in terms of salvation, but he became a pastor and served the Lord for I don't know how many years. And he still is, although he's retired from his church, but he's moved to South Carolina and he's doing something down there. Oh, is he? Okay, I can't even keep up with him. So he couldn't get out of it, you know. So, okay. So I guess you can take the preacher out of the pulpit for a little bit, but you can't take the pulpit out of the preacher, and he gets back in there and he does it some more. So that was an example. And I'm not here to say that God will always answer those kind of prayers. You know, that when we call out to him and we say, God, and I don't really even think that we should really be putting ourselves in position of making deals. But we do see this in the Bible. And the example I'll share is Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and it's verses 1 through 27. And reading that would be a great compliment to today's message. And that's where Hannah was married, and her husband had another wife. But Hannah's womb was closed, and even though her husband really loved her so much, she couldn't have a baby, and the other wife used to poke fun at her and give her a hard time about it, and it was something that she had a terrible time with, and that she went to the temple and she prayed, and we can see this in verses 1 Samuel 1:11. It says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant as a son, give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. And so that was Hannah's vow, that she would, if God would give her a son, she would give her son back to the Lord, and he would serve the Lord all the days of his life. And that was Samuel, right? And then she did that. And she followed through with it. And so you have an example there of somebody that made a vow, they made a promise to God. And when the time came to keep it, they did it. They did what they said. Promised to God, and they did it. They followed through. So she did that. And then we can see that in verse 24. It says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to you. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. I'm getting a little choked up thinking about it. We probably all should be getting a little choked up if we sat and really thought about what happened. She had this boy that she really wanted, and she gave him to the Lord to serve there. Not to live with her, but to go serve the Lord there. And she did that. And so we see that, and I think that's along the lines of what Solomon is talking about in this passage as we look at it. So now we'll go into Ecclesiastes. And there's a couple things, and I think it starts off, this says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. So this is even before. This is independent of vows. To guard is to be careful, to be mindful. So when you go to the house of God, well, what is the house of the Lord? You may be, like in this time, you may be thinking, the temple, or you're going to the tabernacle, or later it's a synagogue. I think church is very much that way, in as much as you go somewhere to hear from God. And I hope that everyone here comes here not to hear from me or not to see your friends, all these things, but to actually hear from God. That's why we're here. And we hear from God in as much as we open up his word and we read his word and we share what his word says and we talk about what his word means. That's how we hear from God. Pause. It's all these human problems we have sometimes. I get this little bit of sweat coming out of my eyes and my nose and things as I get hot up here. Think about this. So guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Be mindful. Be aware be careful about how you approach God. That's what this is telling us. Don't just go without thinking about what you're doing. And so in our case, where we are, as I think about it, that as much as anything that is the house of the Lord is to come together as the church, together, and to worship together and open His Word together. And so when we think about that, we should be careful in how we come to church and how we prepare our hearts and how we watch ourselves and what we say and what we do. We need to be careful of that. And then this is where I think it makes it pretty clear here that we should come ready to listen to God. It says, to draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. So if we're to come here to draw near to God, or to approach God at any other time, any other place to draw near to God, we must listen to Him. Listening to God is not independent of drawing near to Him. We have to listen to God. So as I think about this, a person could come and they can make all the sacrifices in the world, and they can say all the things, and they can make all the vows and all the promises. They can do these things. But if they don't truly listen to God, then what they're doing is evil. What this tells us. It's evil. And I think about it for us today, and I think you'll see this as we go through these verses. We could come here and we could sing all the songs. We could lift our hands, we can praise, we can do all these things. We can make all the promises, we can say all the words. But if we don't make a place in our heart to listen to God and what God says, then what we're doing is worthless. It doesn't matter. We could have as many like emotional experiences as anybody else has. We could have the best of all kinds of music and lights and experience and whatever, those kind of things. But if we're not listening to God, it's all pointless. Amen? This is a simple sermon. That's why I said this is a nugget right here that we got to really listen to. We have to listen to God. We have to listen to His Word. If we want to draw near to God, we don't just draw near to God by making ourselves feel a certain way. Like, oh God, I feel good about You. I mean, I think that opens the door, hopefully, for us to listen. But we need to listen to what God has said and what He's saying to us in His Word. And also, when we think of listening is not where we just hear the sounds that go into our mind, but listening is really equivalent to obeying. Obeying. We need to obey what the Bible says. So not just listen, not just hear, but listen would be actually obeying, doing what the Word says. We can't draw near to God if we refuse to obey Him. We can't. That's not possible. It's not possible to draw near to God if we refuse to obey Him. God would rather we listen and obey than we make all the sacrifices in the world, than we make all the vows, than we sing all the songs. God would rather that we listen to Him and we obey Him. Amen? Who's glad they came to church today? I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad to share this with you. And think about it for me. As someone who probably gets to do the most talking of anyone here, I thank you that you're willing to even sit here and listen to me all these Sundays and hear me Sunday after Sunday. Have to prepare and think about these messages. But I want you to hear God and not me. And that's the way it needs to be. And in as much as I'm doing that, then you listen to what I'm saying here. But so I'm sharing this from the Word of God, what it says here, that, and this is true for me as one who speaks, I need to be approaching this carefully, and I need to be approaching this the way that I'm listening to God. Now, there are all kinds of other voices out there, too, that try to pull you one direction or another direction. Our job as Christians is to listen to God. Amen. To know His voice, to hear His voice, and to follow His voice. That's what we've got to do. So we've got to guard our steps. Anytime we're approaching God or we're thinking about God, and we need to be careful and thoughtful, and we need to be listening. And that's what's going to be required if we're going to draw near to God. If we don't, then we're doing evil. We're doing evil. We need to be aware of that. Now, what is the sacrifice of fools? The sacrifice of fools. I would say it's sacrificing with empty words, but that's as far as it goes. It's like making empty promises, saying empty things. It just doesn't really mean anything. There's really no obedience, and there's no follow through there. And basically, if a person makes a vow, that if they're making the sacrifice of fools, they make a vow, they'll promise to do something, but look for any way they can to get out of doing it. That's the sacrifice of fools. And again, this is evil. Now, just a little application for this as we think about it. When you come to church, or when you go to Bible study, or when you listen to God in some other way, you approach God, do you go to listen to the Lord, or do you go to be heard? Is it more a matter of what you have to say, or is it a matter of hearing from the Lord? And it's actually really common for us to learn how to talk and say things, but we need to learn to be better listeners. Amen? Like, this was pointed out to me a while ago. I think it might have been Pastor Lynn or something. But if you look at universities and schools, they have a lot of speaking classes, but they don't have any listening classes. Learn how to listen. And even if they did have listening classes in universities, I probably wouldn't want to take those, because we need to learn to listen to the Lord, not to listen to some other voices out there. Listening to the Lord. So hopefully, a big part of what we do as a church is we learn to listen to God. That's just what we're trying to do. We're trying to learn to listen to God. Now, when you say things like, I'm going to read my Bible more, or memorize more scripture, or pray more, or these things, and you make these kind of statements, do you do what you say? Do you follow through with what you say? And it's not good for us to, we could say, I hope to do that, but we make strong statements like, I'm going to do this. We should follow through with what we say. Amen? We should do that. And God doesn't find pleasure in us just making those statements and saying we're going to. God finds no pleasure in me saying I'm going to read my Bible more and then not doing it. God would find pleasure in me reading my Bible and listening to Him and obeying Him, but not saying I'm going to do something and then not doing it. Amen? Now, he goes on, he says, be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are in earth. Therefore, let your words be few. To be rash or to be hasty is to speak quickly, to just say something without thinking. You know, and I think that's the problem, and we've seen that other places. We actually even have seen that in Scripture, where people made rash vows. But it's to say it without thinking, you know, oh, I'm going to do this, or I promise God I'm going to do this, but God would rather we didn't do that. And it says that God is in heaven and you are on earth. I think this shows us our place, reminds us of our place and our limitations. And so we need to know our place. Amen? Amen. We need to know our place before God. And it says here that let your words be few. It's better to listen. It's better to talk less often. Now, I don't mean that this means like when you come to Bible study or something like that, you shouldn't talk or something like that. I think we want to have talk. We want to exchange. But also, you've got to be a listener, too. If you're in a Bible study, you need to listen to the Word. You need to listen to other people. Even if you're the teacher, you need to, or the facilitator, you need to listen to others and be in an environment of listening. And that's what we should be striving for. And so sometimes some of us need to talk less. Amen? Some of you need to talk more, actually. Some of you don't say anything. You just keep really quiet all the time, keep everything really close. And I think there's a place to really open up and share. And I would encourage you on that. But the main thing is we better not be talking when we're supposed to be listening to the Lord. Right? Amen? And we got to watch what we say we're going to do. He says, for a dream comes with much business and a fool's voice with many words. And this was the verse I think is the hardest for me to understand in this. And I looked at many interpretations of this, many understandings. And I think it's clear to us in a simple way if we just step back. The first part is a little hard to make sense of. For a dream comes with much business in a fool's voice with many words. He's talking about saying things, saying too many things, making too many promises, not thinking about what you say. That's what somebody who's foolish does, right? That's what we get that. But what's that first part mean? How do we understand that first part? For a dream comes with much business. As I first thought about this, is he talking about dreams like you sleep, you dream? Or is he talking about dreams like, you know, I have a dream to do something? You know, which is it? Well, if you look at the actual Hebrew word, it means more like a dream. Like a dream that you have when you sleep, a dream that you have where there could be a vision or something like that. But I think he's just talking about more normal dreams. And the best understanding I have of this is if you overwork yourself, If you have a lot of work, if you're doing a lot of work, or you have a lot of activity or a lot of things going on, that will naturally lead to you being really restless and you having maybe even crazy dreams. Basically, you're anxious and your mind keeps going and it won't stop, and so you have these dreams. And so he's saying it's like that with the mouth of a fool. Mouth of the fool just keeps running off. Person just keeps talking when they should be quiet. Amen? Now, nobody wants to talk here today, right? I'm the only one, right? I have to talk to you all talking, right? You guys just sit there and be holy and be quiet and not say a word. Okay. But I think it's just a comparison. If you overwork yourself, you work hard, you have a lot of dreams, maybe bad dreams, disturbing dreams. Okay, it might not be just work, it might be just lots going on. Lots going on in your life, lots of anxiety, lots of stress. A lot of dreams. And same way with the voice of a fool. Many words, just keeps going on and on. It says, when you vow a vow to God, so this apparently is what he's talking about, oftentimes somebody who's foolish would do. Make a promise to the Lord. Vow a vow to the Lord. It says, when you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. So, God, I promise to do this. And then the idea is that what a foolish person would do is then look for every way to get out of that promise. God, I promise to serve you. I promise to leave my comfort zone. I promise to take on the hard things in my life. I promise these things. I promise to love others more. And then to not do them. Or to look for a way to get out of it. That's what God takes no pleasure in. And so he says, pay what you vow. So do what you promise. Keep your word. Keep your word to the Lord. I think we need to keep our word all the time. I think in the New Testament we're instructed, you know, to let our yes be yes and our no be no. We don't have to strengthen it, you know, by connecting it to some other thing, you know. But we need to keep our word. We do need to let our yes be yes and our no be no. And especially when we are committed to the Lord, we make a commitment to the Lord, we need to follow through with that. Pay what you vow. Now he says, it is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Actually doesn't say never vow, never make a promise to God, but it says it'd be better for you to not say anything, not to make a promise. If you're not going to do it, it'd definitely be better for you just not to say anything. That's preferred by God. So keep your promises to God. Rather than talking about what you're going to do, do it. Don't talk about what you're going to do, just do it. Go pray more. Go read your Bible more. Go live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Go witness more. Go do those things, but don't talk about them, but do them. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? The messenger could be an angel, but more likely it's a human that God sends your way to call you on your vow, call you on your promise. You know, why aren't you doing this? Why haven't you done this? Well, it was a mistake. I shouldn't have said it. I spoke too soon. It says here that God would be angry at your voice in that case. If you keep making promises that you don't keep, you know, Jesus, I'm going to put you first. God, I'm going to read my Bible more. God, I'm going to pray more. If you keep doing that, God doesn't find pleasure in that. It actually makes him angry. How about this? Jesus, I'm going to repent for my sinful lifestyle. Again, let's not say it, let's do it as we look at it. He says that, you know, why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? The work of your hands is, you know, what you're doing with your life, what you're building, what's going on. And it says that God will destroy it. And I think basically we should understand that there are consequences for our actions. If we make empty promises to God and we don't keep those promises, it would be better not to bring this on yourself. Remember, we looked at it in Deuteronomy and Psalms. It made very clear those are voluntary. Voluntary promises. God's not asking you to do that. It's something that you've come up with to do, but if you do it, God wants you to keep your word there. Then it says, for when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, but God is the one you must fear. Dreams increase, I still think that's connected to the last place it was mentioned, you know, overwork, dream, words grow many. Again, that's the full, both cases, you know, are meaningless. Many times, you know, the things that we're so anxious about and worried about, they don't really even come to pass. They're not anything. And the words of a fool are nothing. They're meaningless. So it says God is the one you must fear. We should take God more seriously than that. We should take Him more seriously than that. And we should be careful with how we approach God. Now, how could we, now think about it, let's go ahead now, this is Old Testament teaching, everything I've shared was Old Testament except for let your yes be yes and your no be no here. How could we be guilty of making the sacrifices of fools? This is a question I ask myself. How could I be guilty of doing that? And I thought of one case where I did this during camp. I made a sacrifice of fool in some ways. I said to my whole team, I said, hey, this would be a great time to spend a little time memorizing scripture. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend some time memorizing scripture. And I didn't do it. I didn't do it because I felt so busy and overwhelmed and so tired by all that was going on. But I said, I do. And I thought to myself, like, if I'm looking for a near example, that wasn't a good example for me. And you guys can come alongside and say, well, that's understandable. I know it's okay and everything. And if you were saying this, I would say the same thing to you. But I can be harder on myself. Amen. And I can say, I can be harder to know that I didn't have to say that. I didn't have to tell anyone that I was going to work on memorizing scripture and then not do it. God would have been more pleased if I didn't say that and then I memorized some scripture. Amen? Yeah. See what I'm saying? So, and as a leader, I think we have to be especially careful. Because why do you think I said that? Well, I wanted other people to do the same. And hopefully that they did. But I didn't, right? So I made a sacrifice of fools there in that way as you think about it. And I really hope that as we read the Bible and we hear these kind of things, that none of us are just thinking, hey, that's about somebody else. We realize that we are guilty of these things and we may be guilty of these kind of things every day. So how could we be guilty of making the sacrifice of fools? First is by not fearing God. We don't take God seriously enough. We don't fear Him. We don't want to honor Him. We're not thinking about Him right. We fear man more than we fear God, then we're likely going to make the sacrifice of fools. The second one is by failing to keep our word to God. And I think I've said that many times here today. Like, we can say we're going to do things and not follow through with those things. And that makes us guilty of making the sacrifice of fools. By worshiping externally but not internally. So if our words to God, if we gather together and we sing these songs in the morning, and we do this every Sunday, we do these things, and it's all on the outside, and we don't really mean any of it, and none of it is in our hearts, but or even if just not enough of it, if we're so much as just the words, and we're just going through the motions, and we're saying the words, and we're committing ourselves to God in these words, like, think about the song we sang. It's a beautiful song that we sang here just before this. This idea about not wanting to miss a single word God says. Everything you say is what? Life to me? Is that how that goes? And to sing that and to come in here and to sing that. God, I don't want to miss anything you say. But then not to listen to Him. To what He says in the Word. See, it'd be like us, you know, coming and worshiping Him on the outside, like putting on this demonstration and maybe even in our emotions and these kind of things, but then not being willing to listen to Him. That's making the sacrifice of fools. And God is not pleased by that. And God's not pleased by our worship being all talk. That's not really worship at all. That's the sacrifice of fools. And it's evil and it's not pleasing to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, conclude here with Samuel, and this is after Saul went and sacrificed when he wasn't supposed to, and he didn't obey God, and he was rejected as king. And he said, well, look what happened. We needed to do this, and I did this. I took matters into my own hand. It says, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and the heat is better than the fat of rams. Now I want to repeat what I've said here earlier. Rather than talking about what we're going to do, it's better to do it. Okay? Go and repent from your sins. Go be a better steward of God's resources. Go pray more. Go read your Bible more. Go love others more. Go share your faith more. Go live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Don't talk about it, but do it. And also remember at the same time, it's pointless for us to come and sing all the words and say all the things and then not obey God. God would rather we obey Him than make all the sacrifices in the world or sing all the songs that are out there, all the popular Christian songs. God wants us to obey Him and to listen to Him. And that's what we need to do. That's what's best for us. It's not a matter of like God's just this rigid God that's like, I need it my way. And it's like, God knows this is what's best for us, what we're designed for. How life will go the very best for us if we'll take the time to listen to God. And I think that we are listening to all kinds of things. So I think as part of that, like as you see this effort, there should be this conscious effort of drawing near to God by listening to Him. Drawing near to Him by listening to what He has to say and how He speaks into our lives. Amen? Amen. All right, so now, don't talk about it. Don't tell somebody you're going to do it. Just do it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for this day. Thank You for the conviction that's in this passage, but the great guidance that we need, Lord. I pray that we wouldn't be afraid to approach You, Lord. We would approach You with sincerity and knowing, Lord, that You paid the price for our sin and our insufficiencies of every way that we have, Lord. And I just thank You, and I thank You that You're the one who's faithful and You're the one that's good, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You would give us a sincere and serious fear of You, but a desire to be close to You. Thank You so much. We love You and we praise You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, if you're glad you came to church today, stand up and let's worship once more. And you can sing out to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you to mean every word that you say, okay? Amen. Amen.